Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live on our YouTube channel and all our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined by my colleagues Ezra Ginsberg and Dave Manuk. Gentlemen, the Winnipeg Jets dropping a 2-1 shootout decision to the Toronto Maple Leafs. And while the Leafs will earn the extra point and they will gain a point on the Jets in the standings, this was, I think, to my mind, the most entertaining game of the season thus far. Back and forth, high action hockey, chances at both ends, stellar goaltending. Really, you can't ask for much more on a Friday night between these two teams, aside from, you know, if there'd been fans in the building, that would have added a little extra juice to the whole contest. But what a game tonight between the Jets and the Leafs.
Yeah, it really was, Drew, and you nailed it. Like, if there were fans in attendance at Bell MTS Place, there obviously would have been, you know, no shortage of, you know, cheers and maybe some jeers from the fans on that Pierre-Luc Dubois penalty in overtime. And that was a penalty, like, right off the bat. I mean, there's no doubt that was a trip on Justin Hall there. But, you know, wow, Connor Hellebuyck, you know, the goal that he lets in, obviously, you know, originally we thought, Dave, that, you know, maybe Joe Thornton got a piece of that one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Logan Stanley, it looked like he wasn't screening Hellebuyck. So, you know, you kind of just chalk that one up to, you know, being a bad goal where, you know, Hellebuyck wasn't maybe set, or, you know, he didn't see it like he wanted to see it. So for him to respond, and it, as Drew mentioned, like, you know, that game was obviously low scoring, 1-1 heading into overtime. And what does he do? He makes four fantastic saves, two on Austin Matthews on that 4-on-3. So, you know, for me, you know, Hellebuyck was the difference there. I forget how many saves he ended up with. It was definitely, you know, probably around 35 by the time that game was over. And obviously, you know, the Jason Spezza shootout goal, that's the shootout. And that was one of the slower shootout goals I've ever seen. And the puck was rolling, but yeah, Hellebuyck was great. You know, I just thought Scheifele was going to score in the shootout to extend it, because it just didn't seem, boys, like that game was ever going to end. But yeah, just an incredible hockey game. And as Drew mentioned, you obviously, you know, wanted to get the 2 points. You wanted to, you know, get within one of the Leafs, but at least they get 1 point there, because in the second period, guys, Hellebuyck was really the only reason why that game was tied going into the third.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. It was like a playoff game. I mean, again, I tweeted it towards the end of the game. I said that's a low-scoring game that most people aren't going to be complaining about, because it was entertaining. I mean, it really was a fun hockey game, and it was tight. It really didn't feel like either team had the edge, but both teams were getting chances. And I think it was one of those situations where, you know, obviously you're hoping that you come away with 2 points. And as he's been on the death to the shootout train for a long time, I hate the shootout. I'd rather see a tie than a shootout. I think it's so gimmicky. Even after all these years, I still think of it as such an annoying gimmick. But,
you know, I'm just gonna say, Dave, like, at this point I don't really care. Like, I was just telling you this off air before we, you know, started the post game show, it's here to stay, right? Like, it's been 15 years, 16 sure. years, whatever. But you can't tell me how many people watching that game are going to say that the shootout was just as exciting as the overtime. Nobody. I mean, no. It's just not going to happen. Even if you have a, you know, a 10-round shootout, boys, it's never going to be as exciting.
Unless Malik is going to shoot, nobody's exactly. going to find him.
No. The players themselves even seemed like they were uninspired in that shootout. I mean, Jason Spezza, you know, scores, but the puck almost rolls off his stick and he's able to gobble it back up. And Hellebuyck is a little bit too far in the butterfly. You know, nothing about that shootout.
He was very close.
He almost got it.
It was just like Spezza found that 1 inch between his pad and the post, yeah. Right?
I will say, though, it's a shame I wasn't there tonight, because had we been picking the three stars, which we occasionally do, it would have been the easiest three stars of the season with the performances of the two goaltenders.
Well, you know,
how does Andrew Copp, you know, just wanted to say, how does Andrew Copp not get a star there, right? Like, not only does he score that goal, but the two shorthanded chances, right? So I would have for sure given Copp one, Dave.
Look, let's start from the beginning of this game. So, you know, the Jets obviously need a bounce back effort after Wednesday's mm-hmm. Sluggish game. I mean, the Jets just weren't themselves on Wednesday, you could see. And they started off much better. That first period for the Jets was a much better first period. They had a lot of energy. They had a lot of opportunities. They were getting contributions really top to bottom in their lineup. And you saw a Jets team you know, not necessarily playing at their peak of their abilities, but certainly playing closer to the peak of their ability. Certainly the team that we're used to seeing more than the game that we saw on Wednesday. And the Leafs are a good hockey team. I mean, even when they're not playing their best, they're still a very good hockey team. And that's what we saw really throughout the course of this game tonight. That first period was a much better first period by the Jets. I believe they outshot the Leafs in that first period by a 9-6 margin. I mean, I thought that they controlled the bulk of the play in that first period. You know, the high danger chances were in Toronto's favor, but that was fishy to me a little bit. I'm not saying I'm skeptical about it, but I thought the Jets controlled a lot of that first period. And it was a good sign for the Jets to come back where they left off on Wednesday with a disappointing taste in their mouth after Wednesday's game.
Yeah, agree 100%, Drew. The first period and the third period, both, you know, the analytics and the eye test went in the Jets' favor. The second period, you know, the opposite. The Leafs' second period was the best, and, you know, the overtime was obviously better for the Leafs, but that has a large part to do with, you know, that two-minute man advantage, right? But you're right, and you tweeted this because you were doing the tweeting from the IC account for tonight's game, and, you know, Nate Thompson, Matt Perreault, Trevor Lewis had a really good shift. One of the best shifts I've ever seen that fourth line have. Like, that was one of those shifts where, you know, you almost expected a goal, and, you know, Matty Perreault had a really good chance there. You know, and, you know, just mentioning, you know, Dubois, like I thought Dubois, Stastny and Wheeler were much better in tonight's game than they were a couple of nights ago. And, you know, obviously Dubois takes the unfortunate penalty. But you remember Stastny and Wheeler had a really good chance right before Kopp put the Jets, tied the game up for the Jets. And obviously, you know, that's kind of been, you know, the criticism of Wheeler and Stastny, both of them sometimes, right, Dave, that, you know, they want to kind of defer to the other and they like to pass the puck more than they like to shoot it. So on that particular occasion, you might kind of want to see the shot instead of the pass. But, you know, we have to give Jack Campbell a lot of credit. Like, we've seen him come in to Winnipeg, you know, playing for not just Toronto, LA as well. And he's been, you know, a really good, you know, goaltender for many years, just never has had that, you know, a starting goaltender position, or, you know, title, I should say. But yeah, I mean, overall, this was a very solid effort. And, you know, Drew said, you know, this wasn't maybe, you know, the Jets' peak, but in that third period, that was, you know, as close to the Jets' peak, because if you think about it, guys, yes, there were chances, you know, back and forth. Both teams could have scored. I mean, Jack Campbell's pad save on Kyle Connor, I mean, everybody watching that game thought that was going in, right? Like, that's just one of those saves where, I mean, Connor can't do anything more than what he did. So there were some grade A chances for both teams. The game could have gone either way. The Leafs could have won in regulation. The Jets could have won in regulation. Yeah, the Leafs had that great second period, but you got to give the Jets and Hellebuck specifically credit for kind of weathering that storm, you know, and putting themselves in a position to get the extra point.
Yeah, I mean, well said, Izzy. I mean, this was a contest, that third period for the Jets. You know, look, Jack Campbell is the best goaltender on the Leafs roster.
Yes.
And when Freddie Anderson comes back, if the Leafs elect to go with Freddie Anderson over Jack Campbell, they're doing a favor for every other team in the North Division.
Well, they can't do that right now. They can't.
Well, right now they certainly can't. But
no, I mean, they can't. I forget about his injury. I mean, you can't give up on a goalie who's this hot. I mean, I don't care about the nonsense about you don't lose your
well, that's been proven to be false time and time again in the last two decades.
I mean, when you're that hot, where you're playing that well, who in their right mind would do that? You wouldn't.
Well, you know, you're right. You're right, Dave. I mean, they would. You know, the dressing room would probably revolt to some extent, quietly, of course, if the Leafs elect.
Look, if he comes back down to earth, fine.
Well, if he comes back down to earth, sure. But I mean,
but right now, nobody's going to take him up. He's just.
And remember, boys, this is the last year of Freddie Anderson's contract.
Right.
So I mean, there's that factor, and right, there's almost similarities, boys. If you think about it, we were talking about this with Matt Murray in Pittsburgh last year, right? Because, you know, the writing was on the wall that they were going to go with Tristan Jarry, and I'm not saying that, you know, they're ready to give Jack Campbell a massive contract, but, you know, it's always out there that, you know, Toronto might decide not to re-sign Freddie Anderson. So you wonder, but I agree with Dave. If Jack Campbell starts to come back down to earth and, you know, maybe has a couple of bad games, Freddie Anderson's healthy, they run with Freddie Anderson. But yeah, you got to go with Campbell now.
Yeah, I mean, no argument there at all. I mean, you just look at that Jets game from their perspective. That third period, they had the push that you'd want to see from the Winnipeg Jets. And then they weathered to the same extent, they weathered the Leafs push as well. Both teams had opportunities. Goaltenders on both sides stood tall. You know, Connor Hellebuyck, you know, not that, you know, he obviously sort of, I think some of his best saves came in the overtime period, but it's not like he was quiet or he had a quiet night in other parts of the game. This was a well-played hockey game between the two Canadian teams with the best depth, 1 through 12. In terms of their forward yes. group. I mean, the Oilers have, you know, with Dreisaitl and McDavid, they might have more of the superstar firepower. You know, the Habs have pretty good depth 1 through 12, but they're lacking sort of that superstar player that yes. all three other teams have. But, you know, I think right now what we saw was as close to a playoff game as you're probably going to see between now and the end of the regular season. Two teams that have high aspirations fighting each other tooth and nail in a game where, you know, neither team I would say is desperate because they're both doing, you know, well positioned at this point in the season, but the Jets knew that they weren't good enough on Wednesday night. The Leafs knew the Jets would be better and they wanted to make amends for the losing 5 out of 6 on home ice. So what do the Leafs do? They come into Winnipeg and they take, you know, they take a 4 out of a possible 4 points. The Jets get 1 of a possible 4 points. A good hockey game. And you can say that, you know, neither team, you know, if you look at the analytics, both sides were very even. You know, what was the Corsi for at the end of the game? 50.5 for the Leafs, 49.5 for the Jets. You know, the high danger chances, they say there were 16-6 for the Leafs. That seems out of whack to me. And I wonder if that'll get, you know, changed a little bit or revised a little bit. I didn't think it was that one-sided when it came to the high danger chances. But this was a pretty even hockey game, which was basically reflected with it going all the way to a shootout.
Yeah, and I saw Dom, you know, just going to say, Dave, and I'll let you get in here, obviously, but, you know, just seeing Dom Zappia, you know, in the chat talking about a 7-game series. Like, if these teams faced each other in a playoff series, I think most people wouldn't be surprised if it went to 7 games. Nobody thinks, like, there isn't that much difference between these two teams. Like, the Jets have the edge in goal. Like, obviously, Jack Campbell has been really good here, but everybody would give the Jets the edge in goal. I think everybody's going to give the Leafs the edge on defense, right? Like, you know, TJ Brody comes in. That top pair with Riley and Brody it's a top 10 pair. And you have to, like, you know, Travis Dermott and Zach Bogosian have really been good on that third pair. And obviously, Jake Muzzin and Justin Hall are the second pair. So you'd give the edge to the Leafs there. But I agree with Drew. Like, you stack up these forward groups when both teams are healthy. I think it's a wash. I would probably give the edge to the Jets, but it's a bit of a wash. So really, you know, are you giving the Leafs the edge because of their group of defensemen? Well, I mean, Hellebuyck has obviously been the X factor there and the kind of equalizer for the Jets. So I really don't think there's that much difference between these two teams. And I think, you know, tonight's game proved that.
Yeah. And what I was going to say is I just think that this is one of those games you want to see from the Jets was what we always talk about is, are they going to bounce back? And you can always say, oh, well, you know, it's coming off a long road trip and we're not going to have a good game in that first kind of first home game after a long road trip. And what we said consistently about this Jets team all year long is how will they play in that next game? And we saw it. And look, at the end of the day, people can say they don't like Toronto. I don't really care if you like Toronto or you love Toronto. The fact is they've still got a very good hockey team and they're very well coached. So the truth is that you may be like, well, the Jets gave up a lot of shots or the Jets did this. The truth is, the Toronto Maple Leafs are the number one team in the North Division right now. So you kind of, if the Jets are going toe-to-toe with them and it's a fairly even game, as Drew's outlined, well, that's not a bad thing. And again, like, even if you expect, you're not going to pummel them, even if you're mad and you're throwing everything at the wall. And remember, the Jets, I said, listen, if you knew that the Vancouver games were canceled on Sunday and Tuesday, and yeah. you knew you weren't playing again till Montreal on Thursday, then really, if you're the Jets, you can empty the tank against the Leafs. Now you don't have that luxury, in quotes, because you're playing the Senators, which game was moved from May 7th to April 5th, which is Monday. So you don't really have that. You're going to have a day off tomorrow. Jets aren't practicing. They're off tomorrow. So you know you
still That was a scheduled off day all week long. So this isn't the new, you know, when the weekly schedule came out last Sunday, were going to be off tomorrow regardless.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. So the point is that they're going to have a rest tomorrow. They had a rest on Thursday. This is going to be a rested bunch, ready to go. They'll have a full practice on Sunday, something they haven't really done a lot of, obviously, this season. And then they'll play a one-and-done little game against the Senators. The point is, you're coming in against a Toronto team that, to Ezzy's point, you kind of embarrassed in Toronto, right? And Toronto was wanting to get that good feeling again and get going, get it rolling. And so I thought it was an excellent game for both teams. And again, goaltending was phenomenal. Goaltending was phenomenal on both ends. And people are saying, oh, the Jets should have beat them. Well, you know, again, we've said this a lot. How many times have the Jets should have been beat by a team, but Connor Hellebuyck stood on his head? So you don't penalize the team and say, well, you could have beaten them if you didn't play have that goaltending performance. Well, the goaltender is kind of a big factor. You can't eliminate that and say, if he wasn't playing, you beat them 4-0. Okay, that's true. But a lot of times you could have said that about the Jets and Connor Hellebuyck, and you didn't because he was in net.
And, you know, just wanted to get something in here quickly, boys. Like, I saw a comment, Space Explorer, I think, just said something about, you know, the Jets not having a number one D-man. And, you know, I do think Neil Pionk has been the Jets' best defenseman all year long. I thought that was one of Josh Morrissey's best games of the year. And, you know, I checked the advanced stats, and that is backed up by his possession numbers in tonight's game. And for that matter, I thought Tucker Poolman was really good, throwing his weight around. What did he end up, Dave? I think around 24 minutes. I'd have to, you know, check that, but he was definitely above 23 minutes. So I thought Poolman was really good with Morrissey.
Poolman was 21-16 at 5-on-5. So, I mean, you know, if he's 21-16 at 5-on-5, he was 24-49.
There you go.
Altogether. So, big minutes for Tucker Poolman.
Right, almost 25 minutes, and none of that was in overtime, right? So no, that was,
and that's, that
was,
and that was the most on the Jets. That was most ice time for the Winnipeg Jets tonight was Tucker Poolman's 24-49 and a positive Corsi rating at 52.83%.
Thought he was really solid, and there weren't that many players on the Jets that I thought, you know, I mentioned, you know, earlier, you know, Dubois, Stastny, Wheeler, they kind of were a little bit quiet there in the second period, but they had some good chances in the third period. So overall, I mean, both these teams have four good forward lines, and we know, you know, the defense we talked about. I mean, the Jets, there's a reason why we keep talking about, you know, the Jets need for a top four defenseman, right? But that wasn't the difference. Like a couple of weeks back, guys, when we were talking about the Jets being badly outchanced, when you talk about the high danger chances and Hellebuyck, you know, really stealing the game, like Hellebuyck might have stolen overtime, but he didn't steal this game. This isn't one of those games where, you know, the Jets were badly outplayed for long stretches. Just the second period, as I mentioned. I mean, for me, you know, and the advanced stats back that up with the possession, like the Leafs badly outchanced them in that second period. But for the rest of the game, I mean, it was a different story. The Jets were really solid, and they easily could have won this game in regulation.
Let's hear from Winnipeg Jets head coach Paul Maurice. He's at the dais.
Patience with these lines after you made the switch and they started off hot in Calgary, but you know, just a goal each game here for your team in these last two games. Are you seeing enough offense from them to continue on with the patience, or are you potentially thinking of making a change?
No, I won't look at these two games as offensive tests for our team and what was there. I'll I stay with these lines, and there's one or two more changes that we'll look at probably between now and the end of the year, but I won't take these two games the assessment of what they're capable of.
We'll go next to Ken Weep from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Weaver.
Well, what allowed the latter accept the matchup with Matthews tonight?
They're pretty true to their game. I think it's a physical line, and they keep in general a pretty simple game, and you have to against that line. They for the most part didn't get into odd man rush situations with that line, which is really important, and then because of that they were able to sort their own end out a little bit simpler.
We'll go next to Jamie Thomas from 680 CGOB Jets Radio. Go ahead, Jamie.
Hey Paul, how would you describe the performance of Tucker Poolman over his almost 25?
Yeah, he's been back since he came off his kind of injury that he was dealing with. He and Josh are starting to kind of round back into really good form. So we're really happy with where he is. We're seeing him get up the ice. He's a strong man. I think he has the advantage in some ways as our schedule has stacked up on us here that he can still stay powerful because he's such a fit fella. But we're really happy with where he is.
We'll go next to Paul Friesen from the Winnipeg Sun. Go ahead, Paul.
Paul, as close as it was tonight, what separates these teams right now?
I don't think we know yet, Paul. I don't think you can tell. I think that the teams with lots of firepower up front that are both trying to play a better defense, and then maybe they played last year, and really not the goaltending tonight because it was really good at both ends. They both made big, big saves, and while there wasn't the free-flowing offense that we've seen in the past between Toronto and Winnipeg, there was quality offense in kind of bursts out there that the goalies were the difference.
We'll go next to Mike McIntyre from the Winnipeg Free Press. Go ahead, Mike.
Paul, I know you've been asked many times about your fourth line, but I look at that one shift they had early in the game that lasted a good minute in the offensive zone. I think we counted up here and they had 9 shot attempts on that one shift alone, which is pretty incredible. I guess, what does a shift like that do for your team and you know, not only at the moment, but in the game overall?
Yeah. Well, and I think the shift that you're referring to started under the ice with a one draw on the left side. So that's the, you can put a line like that out, and it's, and at that point it's not your fourth line. You got a real good, you get your two really penalty killers there, right? So they can start in their own end against the other team's best. I think it was Tavares's line that started on that faceoff and went down, and they got a real simple direct way. And because of that, all three guys know where it's going, right? So they're trying to get pucks to the net, the scrum pucks. You got two guys that are two veteran, you know, all three of those guys, right? They've played in big games, and they know that that's the way it's going to look. So they've been employing that now. I think that when you look at the, I think that's about 20 games in about 36 days for our team. That might be the find in all of this, right? There's the value of that, those three guys that they can generate, and they can be not a line you're just trying to get through on your rotation to reset back to your top, but they can be really effective.
We'll go next to Spillick from the Sun. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, Paul, just you had Jansen Harkins on the ice before the game, but obviously Blake played. How close was he to not playing, perhaps, and how do you think he got through the game?
We were sure after the morning gate that he was going to play, but we just wanted to make sure, you know, something came up. That was all. I just sometimes get Jansen, you know, we've been unusually healthy here, right? So kind of told the guy yesterday to prepare to play just in case. So he came to the rink prepared to play. Sometimes getting him in that warm-up, just keeping him in the loop is important.
We'll go next to Ken Weeb from Sportsnet. Go ahead.
Well, just the schedule change with the game on Monday, will that impact how you handle your group in the next couple of days here?
Well, we'll have to play every second day then for over a month, right? That mentally will be important for us. We won't skate tomorrow. And then the next day, over first, you know, we'll have a practice that we can get ahead of on what would be overuse injuries that we're seeing now. We'll do that. So it's not an optional skate, but we'll put as many guys as we need to just to get them cleaned up and get them out of here again, right? It'll be just move some pucks and feel kind of stir some of the energy that you get when you get these off. It's been an off time for our group, so we'll enjoy it.
Thanks very much, Coach.
Okay, guys.
For you is all of a sudden as we...
Keeping Winnipeg laughing for over 30 years. Rumors, Canada's longest-running comedy club, bringing you the biggest laughs from the best comedians on the planet. Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the greats, and all the up-and-comers too. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends, or book your office or birthday party. Even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Hey, Drew.
Ezzy, whoa, what a smile!
Yeah, I got my crowns done at Linden Market Dental Center, and they whitened my teeth.
I see.
They're so bright that every time I smile, they go...
We have hockey tonight. Do you have a mouth guard to protect those pearly whites?
I sure do.
Whoa, they even ting through the mouth guard!
Linden Market Dental Center covers all your dental needs, from restorative to cosmetic dentistry, and will fit you with a sports guard for that active lifestyle. 877 Waverly, see lindenmarketdental.com.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
While you can't always count on your team winning, nor your favorite player scoring, one thing you can always count on is Bernstein's Deli. They've expanded their services because the team at Bernstein's Deli wants to accommodate your needs and keep you safe. Open Tuesday to Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. to serve you. Head to your phone, in-store or online to shop for groceries or order meals from the restaurant, like the legendary Illegal Curve Sandwich. Just go to bernsteinsdeli.com.
So you're a pizza person, you married a wing person, but somehow your kids are salad people. You can't pick your fam, but you can pick your BP meal deal, starting from $18.99 for takeout or delivery at bostonpizza.com.
We're back with the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you. Nice little Friday night. Nice to see so many of our familiar faces and new faces in the chat. If you're watching us, if you haven't already done so, be sure, right at the bottom of the screen there should be a big subscribe button. Smash that subscribe button.
Smash
it. Hit the like button. Hit the reminder button. We're going to be on tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., little less than, 11 hours from now with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. That'll be Saturday morning at 9 a.m. We want you to join us there as well. We want you to join us each and every time we go live after the game. So be sure to hit the subscribe button, hit the remind button, get alerted each and every time we go live here on our YouTube channel and all of our social media feeds. And of course, if you haven't already subscribed to the podcast editions of all these, go ahead, go do that right now while you're in a bit of a subscribing frenzy. I get it. It's a Friday night. We're going wild and crazy. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe to everything Illegal Curve related. We just heard from the Winnipeg Jets head coach, Paul Maurice. And he was, again, sort of the similar Paul Maurice that we've seen for a lot of this.
Way to go, Drew, by the way. Sorry, we just got a thumbs down because of you.
Really?
Yeah.
That's harsh. 60 Somebody likes. Thumbs down me?
60 likes, but one thumbs down.
All because
I don't think they like you stealing my thunder. That's my move. The point. Just saying. Ezzy knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think it was Ezzy who probably gave me the thumbs down. That would be likely how it is. But my point was that Paul Maurice is very even keeled with his post game remarks. The team, they're going to be off tomorrow. They'll have a skate on Sunday, a practice. He didn't even say it would be really a full practice. It sounds like if you're banged up at all, if you're nicked up at all, you'll probably get Sunday off too. And the Jets will come back on that Monday game to face the Senators and then get another couple of days off. So really a bit of a lull in the schedule. I'm going to say fortuitous timing for the Winnipeg Jets in that they get these 2 days off a game, another 2 day break. I mean, they were, who knows if they would have been better off with a full 5 days off between now and next Thursday when they were going to be playing against the Montreal Canadiens, but they have Ottawa on the schedule now instead. This is it for the Winnipeg Jets, getting into the stretch drive. You're, into the nitty gritty part of the season where, your month of April, you play Ottawa three times, but other than that, you're only playing against the playoff teams, against the Torontos, the Montreals, and the Edmontons. So I think it was important for the Jets, while they don't get the win tonight, and that's obviously a downside for them, I think it's important that they get back to feeling good and playing the way they wanted to play, which is what they did tonight, as opposed to Wednesday night's contest.
Yeah, absolutely. And, Drew, you mentioned, it would have been maybe nicer to have those extra few days to have practice, and obviously it's a moot point, right? Because the NHL decided to schedule the game between the Jets and the Senators. But I kind of look at it the other way, and we talked about this, after Wednesday night's game, right? Like if you have those extra, I guess it would have been 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday off, then your schedule is just going to be more condensed in May, right? So I mean, it's a question of, are you going to get one more game in and have less practice now, or are you going to have more games you know, towards the end of the season, right? So I don't think in the grand scheme of things it really matters, because you know, we know the Jets are going to make the playoffs. Like, it's not 100%, but it's pretty close to 100%. The Jets are going to be one of the playoff teams in the North Division. It's just a question of, in my opinion, first, second, or third, because I don't think they're going to slip down to fourth. So yeah, might have been. Well, they could. I'm just saying, I don't think they are. And I think most people, based on, you know, the way they've been playing, sure, Montreal might, you know, get in the conversation. But, you know, they're looking like a pretty good lock for a top three spot, right? So, sure, you might like the practice. But, you know, back to your point about, you know, how the Jets played, you know, tonight versus Wednesday night. Yeah, I mean, you know, you're always worried about that, you know, first game after a long road trip. And especially in the first period, they were pretty sluggish. But for the most part, you know, I keep going back to that second period. Toronto really did dictate the pace and, you know, control the play in that middle frame. But, you know, the response was really – sorry, go ahead, Drew.
I was just going to say, so when the third period started, Toronto came out with those first couple shifts to start the third period, really taking it to the Jets. And I thought, you know, the thought crossed my mind – that you know, this could be reminiscent of the Jets' third period in Toronto when the Jets came out, and remember, it was a 2-2 game a couple Saturdays ago. It was a 2-2 game, then the Jets scored 3 goals in the third to really dominate that third period against the Leafs. And I sort of crossed my mind that that's what we might be seeing from the Leafs against the Jets to start the third period. But I'll give the Jets credit that they, you know, they weathered that early storm from the Leafs the first few minutes of the third period. Then after that, it was a very even third period. I thought the Jets, well, I mean, look, the Jets could have won that game in regulation. Jack Campbell had to make what? 2 or 3 pretty damn good saves, including that great save off of Kyle Connor. Late in the third period to even send the game into overtime and eventually the shootout that the Leafs won. You know, I was impressed that the Jets sort of took that early punch from the Leafs in the third period and then played a very solid third period after that.
Yeah, and it started with, you know, Dave, I was just going to say, you know, it started with, you know, killing off the Kyle Connor tripping penalty on Tavares, right? And we talked about, you know, Andrew Kopp, and it's funny because, you know, I looked at the natural stat trick, and of course, you know, Kopp at in all situations was one of the worst possession players on the Jets. But, you know, with his goal and his couple of, you know, shorthanded chances, I still think he was one of the Jets' best players, go ahead.
It's interesting. So you talk about Andrew Kopp and you know, so at, you know, if you look at his play at 5-on-5, remember the Kopp, Lowry, Appleton line, they were matched up against the Matthews line. So they had the big challenge tonight.
Yes.
And, you know, they were, you know, Kopp's Corsi 4, 33% at 5-on-5. So obviously the Matthews, Marner, Hyman line had the better of them.
Pretty good, though. I think it was 75.
But that's exactly my point. When they were shorthanded, Andrew Kopp's Corsi 4 was 75%, because we remember that penalty-killing opportunity where he had sort of 2 good shorthanded opportunities. Let's hear from Dave. There's a good point coming in from First Place Cap on the chat saying, hey, let Dave get a word in. Dave is the brains behind this operation. Well, I'm not sure what Ezzy is, but I'm the brawn, I guess.
You guys are something. Actually, I was just going to confirm what Ezzy said in terms of the Jets being a lock for the playoffs. I mean, they've got a 12-point edge on the Calgary Flames, who are fifth, and they have 1 game in hand. So, I mean, the Calgary Flames aren't I mean, I know I think they were tied with Edmonton last I checked.
Down 3-2 now.
Okay, so they're down 3-2. I mean, Calgary, I think, is done. They could catch Montreal, I guess, in theory, but I think they played like 25 more games than Montreal has. So, I mean, I think it's a foregone conclusion who the top 4 teams are going to be in the North Division. I think it's just a function of where they're going to finish, really, at this point in the season. It's going to be jockeying for that kind of final that final positioning, but other than that, I think you know which are the 4 that are going to be there when all is said and done and the season ends, whenever that is, of course, because we don't know, because the schedule keeps changing. Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately at the end of the day, you looked at that performance from the team, and again, it comes back to this idea of you needed to rebound. You know, you can say, okay, we didn't have energy, and people might not like it, but it seems to be an acknowledged fact that when teams come off a long road trip, they just aren't there. And so the point is that you wanted to see what they were going to be able to do. And I, again, like I said, the Jets didn't push the Leafs around, but look, guys, the Leafs, people know I not like this, but the truth is the Leafs are still the first place team in the division. And the Leafs have a hell of a good team. They've got really good depth. They've got good forwards. I'm not saying the Jets can't match them, but I'm saying you can't pretend as if somehow the Jets are head and shoulders above the Leafs. They're not. I mean, the Leafs have some absolutely dominant players. So you want to see a team that, you know, rebounds in the sense that you didn't like the way you played on Wednesday. And I thought the Jets did what they needed to do. And look, you had two goaltenders who played extremely well. Connor Hellebuyck probably wants that one goal he let in back, but he made more than made up for it in terms of the way he played for the remainder of the game. I never realized, I was reading some of the tweets after while you two were blathering, that Campbell and Hellebuyck are actually quite close and are good friends. So apparently they have a good open line of communication. I suspect
not both Michigan guys, Dave.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know, but sometimes, you know, you don't know if they're how close, but they apparently are very close. So that was an interesting fact. He just said that, you know, he cherishes that relationship with Connor Hellebuyck, who, you know, when things were going well, was kind of there for him. But I thought it was a hell of a good game. I thought both goals, I actually thought it was one of those games that it deserved to go to overtime, because I actually thought both teams played really well and deserved the point. I mean, they always say you want to win clean regulation games, but really I didn't think that either team deserved the game more than the other. I thought both teams put forth efforts that were meritorious of at least a point.
It was playoff caliber hockey. I mean, sometimes, you know, you don't need much more analysis than that. You saw the play at both ends. You saw the performances at both ends. You know, for the most part, you know, what you saw there were two very good hockey teams doing battle against one another. In, you know, had this been game three of a 7-game series, it could look exactly like that, where both sides were very even. And it's unfortunate that it ends in a shootout and an anticlimactic shootout. But, you know, the rules being what the rules are, you know, c'est la vie, somebody's going to win in that bad format. In this instance, it was the Leafs. But I don't think there's one person in that Jets room who are going to be hanging their heads over the result tonight. You saw two very good hockey teams going at each other head to head. And to be put on a show for the, unfortunately, not in the viewing audience at home and not in attendance at the arena, because the buzz would have been that much better had it been a Friday night with fans in the building.
Yeah, and going back to the kind of that notion that Dave was talking about, you know, the difference between these two teams. If the Leafs, forget the standings for a second, everybody knows the Leafs are in first and they're 4 points up on the Jets. Take that out of the equation. If you're on Team Leafs and you think the Leafs are a better team, they're only a little bit better based on the way these two teams have played in the regular season. We saw what the Jets did in Toronto, right, boys? So you can't say that the Leafs are, you know, head and shoulders, you know, that much better than the Jets. It's just, if you think that, then you're wrong. I mean, you just are. Everything about that would be wrong. So that's right off the bat. And if these two teams do meet in the playoffs, and, you know, this will apply with those three games between these two teams coming up in Winnipeg, right? Like, the matchup to me, that's the key. And we talked about this on Wednesday night. I mean, you saw Lowry's line go up against, you know, the Matthews, Marner, Hyman line. Like, I think there's a strong argument that you probably would want the Dubois line, and then the Scheifele line goes up against, you know, Tavares, Nylander, Galchenyuk. And I saw Drew tweet, I thought Galchenyuk has been a nice fit in there. Like, Galchenyuk, you know, has been a healthy scratch. You'd think, you know, he's going to be a fourth liner on whatever team he's playing for, right? But, you know, Galchenyuk's got hands. You forget he's a third overall pick, right? So just wanted to get that in there. So that's when matchups really come into play here. And that is the key matchup. Same thing, you know, Drew talked about McDavid, Draisaitl. Like, those guys are going to get on the board somehow almost every single game. So you have to limit their damage, right? Like, it's the LeBron James rule. So I would rather see the Dubois, Stastny, Wheeler line. And again, that goes back to what Drew was talking about, you know, on last Saturday's show. That's when you wonder, you know, if maybe a guy like Andrew Kopp moves up to the second line to give you a little bit more of a, you know, defensive presence. And that means that you move Stastny back to the middle, right? So then maybe, you know, you have Stastny with, I don't know, Appleton, Lowry. I have no idea. But I think that's the key there. That's what if the Jets are going to be successful against the Leafs, you know, they're going to have to shut down those guys, Matthews and Marner, because in my opinion, Matthews is the most talented player on either team. I mean, he could have easily had a couple goals in this game, and he might end up with 40 goals by the time the season's over.
Well, you know, Dave, it's interesting. I go back to what Paul Maurice said in his post-game media availability there, sort of talking, I can't remember who asked him the question about sort of the lines and what he's been seeing from the lines, and, you know, if this is sort of going to be not status quo, but if he's going to keep these lines together, you know, for the next little while. And Maurice said, you know, we've been healthy, so there hasn't been any impetus to change anything up because of a health reason. I do think he's got another card to play, and I think it is the Stastny one, and I think he's waiting towards the end of the year to do that, or even maybe the start of the playoffs. just something about the way he's talking and something about the way he's sort of subtly mentioning, you know, other moves that he's been thinking about leads me to believe that that's, you know, the one card that Jets fans have really been clamoring for or expected to see since the trade for Pierre-Luc Dubois was made. I do think that's going to involve Paul Stastny going back up the middle. Lord knows I've been wrong more times than I've been right, but you know, this is just something in the, for whatever reason, I think he's going to play that card at some point towards the end of the year or the start of the playoffs, Dave.
Well, no, I mean, Paul Maurice learned a valuable lesson last play-in series when, you know, you're reliant on one combination and then you have to try and get it going in another way and you lose that ability. So you want to be able to mix and match and you want to have those guys to be able to play with anybody and not be, this line has played all 56 games together. That line has played, you know, 40 straight. They don't have any chemistry with anybody else. So I think he doesn't want to, I mean, he says he wants to let it run a little bit, which is what he talked about recently. But you're right, Drew. That is the theme that seems to be coming out from Paul Maurice's media availabilities these days, in the last week at least, is this idea of it's about tinkering and it's about allowing these guys to develop chemistry. And, you know, once you've developed it, it's not as if chemistry just disappears. Oh, wait, I played with one other guy one time. Somehow I don't have chemistry anymore. So you've built that sort of muscle memory playing with guys, and you have that understanding of where they like to go. So the reality is, we know, look, Paul Maurice, if he has to, can always go back to Mark Scheifele, Kyle Connor. They all know how they play. And so right now what he's doing is he's eliminating the problem if someone goes down. I mean, again, the Jets have been remarkably lucky in terms of health with this team right now. And so from a perspective of being smart and forward-thinking, that is what you need to do. You need to ensure that your team has the ability to mix and match those lines. So I think you're right. I think you are picking up what he's putting down. He's putting it down subtly, but I think he has been putting that down for the last few media availabilities.
Yeah, there's something to the way he's commenting about it. And I guess he doesn't want to really show his hand, you know, at this point of the season. And I understand that. Maybe you want to, you know, sort of get them into a groove towards the end of the year. I mean, even with veteran guys like this, it wouldn't even shock me if you don't really pull it out until maybe you lose a game in the playoffs and then you go to that move. But something about it tells me that, you know, that Paul Stastny is not permanently going to be on the wing for this Winnipeg Jets team, especially when push comes to shove and when the matchups matter a little bit more in the come playoff time than they do right now, Ezzy.
Yeah, and you know, this was pointed out by several people in the chat, and I think you do have to be, you know, a little bit concerned about the lack of scoring that you're getting in your top six, and it's more so from the Dubois line, right? And yes, Wheeler is dealing with an injury here, and we're not picking on this line because, as I mentioned, you know, earlier in the post-game show, I thought that line was much better than they were on Wednesday night. But, you know, clearly here, guys like Scheifele, Connor, Ehlers, like those guys were excellent again tonight. And I think we would all agree, you know, we talked about, you know, the Connor chance, but, you know, Scheifele had some good chances. Ehlers had some good looks. Like, you know, no issues with that line. I don't think, you know, any one of those three players have really had that many bad games, you know, this season. Maybe, you know, a handful, but, you know, I think, you know, when Drew talks about, you know, Stastny moving down to that, and I, you know, misspoke earlier. Obviously, you know, Lowry would most likely move down to the fourth line, and then you're probably talking about, you know, maybe a Matty Perreault on that third line, maybe a Jansen Harkins. But I think, you know, again, this is just my own opinion, but I think Andrew Kopp would be the logical choice to get that, you know, elevation to the second line. I think he deserves it. But the point is here, you're trying to find the right mix, and Scheifele, Connor, Ehlers, guys, like, that line looks really good.
Yeah.
Like, they just do. I don't think, you know, anybody's going to argue with that. So I don't think that's going to change. That, like Dave said, like, you might see, you know, who knows, maybe Wheeler goes up to that top line and you see Connor, Scheifele, and Wheeler again. Like, it doesn't really matter. But right now, the most dangerous line at 5-on-5, there's no doubt, it's Connor, Scheifele, Ehlers. And then you got to decide what you're doing there. Like, Dubois is obviously going to center your second line, and you know, you assume Wheeler's going to stay up there. And you know, Andrew Kopp, what does he have, 12 goals now, guys? You know, Copper is having a fantastic year. So, like, if anybody has any problem with him moving up to the second line, I mean, you gotta get over that. Like, the guy deserves it if he does go up to the second line. But, you know, these are small problems at this point in the season. You're 4 points, almost said 3 points, you know, behind the Leafs. You still have a shot at first. Like, let's not forget, boys, even if the Leafs win the division here, how many years has it been since the Leafs have gotten out of the first round? So, like, At the end of the day, the regular season doesn't mean much. Let's wait till we get to the playoffs before we start, you know, putting the crown on the Leafs.
Especially this year, the regular season doesn't mean much. There's no advantage for home ice to speak of. There's no crowds in any Canadian cities. I mean, so, you know, you're right, Ezzy. It's strictly based on matchups. And we talked about this. I don't remember if it was on the Wednesday postgame show or if it was on last Saturday's Illegal Curve Hockey Show. But, you know, the matchups in that, you know, in that first round are really going to be a huge difference. You know, maybe the Jets prefer to play a team like Toronto in the first round as opposed to a team like Edmonton or a team like Montreal. You know, it's sort of who do you play well with? Who do you know how you play against? And so many of these series, I think, are going to be coin flips, Dave, that it's going to be a fascinating playoff, certainly.
Yeah, I think so for sure. And I think it's one of those things that will, you know, oftentimes we do those analysis, like how you're ending the season impact how you do in the playoffs? And for the most part, it really doesn't. I looked at it, I remember, not for a few years now, but in terms of how teams did in their final kind of 10 games and whether they were able to, you know, whether, you know, you had to go, you know, 700 to have on a really good role to become a Stanley Cup champion. And the truth is, it doesn't really matter. I mean, obviously it's better if you're feeling good about your game than not, but the truth is, I think in terms of matchups, I think it'll be very interesting to see how this goes. I don't know. I think Montreal is kind of a wild card, you know, especially when they'll have Stahl in their lineup. They'll be feeling good about themselves.
And look at Montreal's record, 6-9.
Right. Sorry, the one thing I was going to say about Montreal that people are factoring in is they may be very tired. That's why people are saying you may want to play the Montreal because they're most likely going to have them of the four. I believe they have the most condensed schedule to end the season. So I think you've got a Montreal Canadiens team. So that's why I think there's a bit of an advantage. Again, Carey Price, some would say he's been good. Some would say he's regressed. But the reality is, I mean, if he's in a series, could he steal it from the Habs? Maybe he's been a big game goaltender before. So I think that's something that factors in. But maybe that's why some people are saying Montreal might be the best option simply based on the fact that they're going to be the most tired group. They could be injured. You know, they could be dealing with injury because of that condensed schedule. So we don't know. There's a lot of factors. And again, we've seen the way the Jets have played against the Leafs. We've seen the Jets against the Oilers. So it'll take a little more analysis. But I mean, I think right now, I think, you know, realistically, any of these teams could beat any of them. And again, we haven't focused on too much in terms of the interplay between Montreal and Toronto and Edmonton and Montreal to be able to give you a proper analysis breakdown of how those teams all match up and what works best for everyone. But I think that, honestly, I think that in a 7-game series, when you've got a goaltender like Connor Hellebuyck, I think the Winnipeg Jets, plus with the offense, their defense obviously isn't the best defense in the North Division. I don't know that the North Division has necessarily the best defense in the NHL, but the truth is that I think that these guys have sufficient ability to be able to beat any of the other three teams that will be in that top four.
Yeah. And, you know, guys, we're talking about the playoffs, but I mean, you know, we're so far away and you know that none of these teams are thinking that far ahead, right? Like, mm-hmm. How can you it really is crazy. If you like, first off, it's crazy that we're almost 3/4 of the way through the season. Right. But like, when you think of how many games there are on a nightly basis and you know, the lack of breaks and everything like that, like mm-hmm. you have to focus on, like, you know, I mentioned, I don't think, you know, the Jets are going to slip out of a top three spot. Obviously, you know, that can mathematically happen, but you know that all of these teams are constantly thinking of, you know, a game ahead or a couple games ahead or even, you know, a week or two ahead in terms of, you know, the condensed schedule. So Dave, you're right. Like, I don't think there are going to be, you know, that many mismatches, whether you're mm-hmm. talking about the Jets, Leafs, Habs, Oilers, whatever. Same thing for, you know, other divisions. Like, you have to remind yourself, guys, that there are three other divisions in the NHL. Like, it's been one of those years where we're in this Canadian vacuum here. I personally have a Dyson, but I mean, when you
somebody's
when
doing you talk, well for themselves.
it was a wedding present, Drew. I could never afford that type of instrument, but it does a really nice job. I was doing the sunroom earlier today.
Sunroom. Somebody's doing well for themselves.
Hey, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, pay the bills, get by one day at a time. But no, I mean,
somebody's doing well for themselves.
Yeah, well, sometimes
I can keep doing this.
You're doing much better than me, Drew. But yeah, you know, back, you know, all seriousness, like, you know, this division, it's you know, it's been fun to watch for sure. But I don't think, again, we can get too far ahead of ourselves and start, you know, saying that the Jets are going to have an advantage or a disadvantage against any team.
Well, and I think to Ezzie's point, I mean, we don't know what everybody's going to look like. There's a lot more hockey to go, even though to Ezzie, you know, to what Ez just said, you know, it's amazing to think that the season has already progressed to this point. But at the end of the day, teams could look vastly different. We saw what happened in Winnipeg in game one of that play-in series. So it'll be very interesting to see how this all plays out down the road.
Well, you know, and it's something. We'll talk about this more tomorrow on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, which is going to get started in, if I do some simple math.
Yeah, we have to get the bed, Drew, here. Like, yeah. I'm going to get up in like 9 hours.
Exactly.
Get to bed. Some of us have to do the post-game recap on a little site called illegalcurve.com.
Point to the sign. There you go. In 10 and a half hours, I mean, I think it is worth the conversation on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You know, when, you know, it looks pretty clear that the top four are set. You know, how eager are the Jets and the Leafs and the Oilers and the Canadiens when they play each other to be, you know, beating up on one another during late April or mid-April, when the games are really just about jockeying for positioning? You know, how eager are the Jets going to be to try and kill themselves, to kill the Leafs, when they have to face, you know, them in the playoffs a week later? Probably not. I think you're going to see some of these teams maybe take their foot off the gas a little bit. Obviously not yet, but I think you're going to start to see a little bit more gamesmanship going on between the coaching staffs and the players, just as they all get ready for the playoffs, because they know that, you know, the game on April 25th, after you've more or less clinched a playoff spot, if you haven't already mathematically done so, it's not as important. For Chris in the chat, you know, he's saying, quit pointing to the whiteboard. It says illegalcurve.com on the whiteboard. It's sort of part of the running joke that, you know, you can't really read what it says. But, you know, in any event, your point is well noted, that Dave should make it a little clearer.
I could just write illegalcurve.com in the chat.
Like, I'm with Chris. Time. Quit pointing to the whiteboard, Dave. We can't read it.
Or get a better sign, get a sticker, you know, go online, you know, go pay for something that really shows off the,
I think it's kind of the fun part of it.
Yeah. You know, your definition of fun and my definition of fun are two different things. Let's leave it there. Like I said, we're going to be back in about 10 and a half hours with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We remind everyone, if you want more post-game discussions, the Kenny and Rennie post-game show has started now. So you can find that on their YouTube channel or on Twitter. Look for Weeb's Twitter at Weeb's World. I think it's on Sean Reynolds' Twitter as well. In any event, we will, like I said, see you in 10 and a half hours. While you're still here, hit the subscribe button. You know, make sure you hit the like button. Get alerted each and every time we go live here on the Illegal Curve post-game show and Saturday morning with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Big thank you to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Bernstein's Deli, and Boston Pizza. Support these businesses because they support Illegal Curve Hockey. For Ezra Ginsberg, for Dave Minuk, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Until tomorrow, Saturday at 9 a.m., we wish you good night and good luck.